So I'm curious, are you getting tired of the new normal? Are you at all growing impatient with the talk of COVID-19? How about I ask you this? Are you as patient with everyone in your house as you were 3 months ago? Here's another one. Has your patience at all been tested this year? Ben Franklin once said, and I quote, "He that can have patience can have what he will." He that can have patience can have what he will. You know, I don't know that that's absolutely true, but he does have a point. Patience is a real virtue, and it's an extremely rare one. But when we practice it, we do benefit considerably. God's placed us on earth to develop His divine nature. I often refer to that point, but don't always read that scripture to you. Let's do that at this time by turning over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I will read from the, in this particular case, the New International Version for this section of scripture. His divine power, in verse 3, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge. Notice that it is God's divine power, which He has already given us, that is, by His Holy Spirit residing within us. Everything, according to what we read right here, we need for life and godliness. Now that's an astounding statement. Think about that. We know God doesn't exaggerate. So let me ask you this question. Do you really believe that you now have everything you need for life and godliness? Right now, do you believe you have everything you need for life and godliness? Peter is here writing, to Christians, people just like you and me. The letter has been preserved for us, and what applied to God's people then certainly applies to us now. Are we fully aware of what is available to us now? What a beautiful scripture this is. I hope you are conscious of God's help and you do not doubt that you have it. But let me just pose this question as well. If you don't think you receive this kind of help, why is that that you don't? God says here that He provides whatever we need for life and godliness. This means that God gives us whatever is necessary to live a godly life. When God gives us His Holy Spirit, He gives us an invaluable tool which helps us to live as He wants us to. It works within us so long as we have the kind of mindset that He expects us to have. Obviously, we didn't start out that way. Nobody does. But we should be different from what we were when we first started. We should be more like God. And that means we should also be more patient, just as God is also perfectly patient. He's perfect in every way, so He is perfectly patient. For those who like sermon titles, today's is The Value of Patience. Let's continue in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 again. I'm reading from the NIV. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Knowledge of God is vitally important. I've said before we were living in a very angry world, a very impatient world. You know what there's very little of? Knowledge of God. It makes sense that we would be seeing what we see. Without knowledge of God, His will, His word, His truth, there is no hope for happiness in this life, nor salvation. It's God's Word, which when applied, gives us stability. It gives us a reason for living. It gives us contentment, peace of mind now, and the wonderful hope for eternal life. And you can't beat that. That makes life worth living. It's the only thing that makes life worth living when you really think about it. Continuing here, it says, who called us? That is, as we all should be well aware, we have a special calling. We've been called out of this world, placed into God's church, as is shared in John 6 and verse 44, where no one can come to me, that is Jesus Christ, unless the Father who sent me draws him. So we are called by God, set apart by the great Almighty God, and given knowledge about him and his will. Continuing in verse 3, it says, by his own glory or power and goodness. Verse 4 says, through these, that is, through his glory and goodness, he has given us his very great, notice the emphasis, very great, and precious, one commentary puts it, superlatively great, promises. So that through them, that is, through these great promises, they are the object of our faith. You may participate in the divine nature. Wow. Simply put, God's divine nature, divine power, enables us to take on his divine nature, to take on his characteristics. Now think about this when considering the subject of patience. It is possible for any of us to develop a greater degree of patience than we may have originally thought. Well, you know, my family, my parents, my grandparents, you know, we've had a long history in our family line of impatient people. You know, we could point the finger at all kinds of things if we want to and run from what God's telling us here. The truth of the matter is, God gives us, through His Holy Spirit, the ability to do much more than we may recognize at all times. And that is true for the subject of patience as well. God impresses on us and infuses in us divine qualities. Have you thought about that? True knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, again, this is all done by God's Spirit as we love Him, His Word, and His will by yielding to Him. You know, it's the most wonderful thing that can happen to anyone, and you and I should never take such a thing lightly. That said, we must remember this is long term. It's a slow, thorough process. You and I can't just snap our fingers. Hey, I've got perfect patience. That's not how it works, is it? We all know it, but sometimes we can be discouraged or frustrated by the fact that we don't seem to be exhibiting or practicing a lot of patience in our lives when we need to. Continuing in verse 4, escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The New King James uses the term lust in place of evil desires. In other words, desiring or wanting things that are contrary to God instead of loving His Word, yielding to Him and His will. We have to want something very badly before we'll do it. You ever notice that in your life? I'm sure you have. Until we want something badly enough, we won't do it. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add. Again, we have our part in it. We must add. Otherwise, there is no need to make any effort. To your faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. King James says patience. The Greek word is hupomone, which means cheerful or hopeful. Endurance, constancy, enduring, patient continuance, or waiting. We'll come back to patience in a few moments, but let's read more in the context here first. Continuing in verse 6, add to perseverance or patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, we should not be ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge. We'll come back to that later also. Verse 9. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, that is because of the possibility of forgetting and being blind, my brothers, be the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we are to make our calling and election sure, as we see here. We're dealing with salvation, a matter of life and death. You know, these are all beautiful words, beautiful and precious promises. Yet we must always remember this is long term. We have a long way to go to become like God. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of hard work, a lot of patience. God is willing to be patient with us, but we need to learn the importance of patience. Patience with God, patience with our fellow man, patience with ourselves. When I say patient with God, I don't mean for a moment that he may fail us. God never fails us. But he works on a different time schedule than we typically do. We might prefer that he might change his schedule. However, I will tell you right now, he's not going to. He always knows best. Sometimes we may not think so, but regardless, we have to operate according to the way and in the time that he knows best. You think about that and you begin to realize, wow, patience is very important. Okay, here's a question. Do you like shortcuts? Chances are you do. I know I like to take the shorter route to get somewhere. Those who have time, and time seems to not be that big of an issue for you, perhaps you enjoy taking and meandering the long roads to get wherever. This is a quiet country way. Now, there's a time, if I had the time, that I would and could see where I could enjoy that. But by and large, I want the shortcut. I want to get where I'm going and be there. Sadly, in high school, I chose the shorter route with Shakespeare sometimes. We're all familiar with Cliff's Notes. We may like shortcuts, but there are no shortcuts with God's plan. Every Christian must reconcile himself to that and get used to it. Well, this is a backdrop. Let's dig into the importance of patience. Patience is a part of the divine nature. It is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is a part of the character that we are to be building in our Christian lives. Now, I trust we understand that apart from patience, godly character cannot exist. And understanding this then, right? We cannot have godly character without patience. Let me ask this question. How often do we think in terms of patience being an essential part of our lives? It is characteristic of human beings to want what they want when they want. I can't see you if you were raising your hands if I were to ask how many of you have felt that way at different times in your life. Well, of course, all of us as human beings. Absolutely. You know, you can take something simple that you enjoy as a hobby, you'd like to become more of a master of. Maybe it's crocheting. Maybe it's painting. In my case, I would love to be a better drummer than I am. But that doesn't just happen. You have to practice and work at it. No one is totally free of this tendency of wanting what we want when we want. But oftentimes that also comes then with people or us, as we're talking about considering our own lives instead of others. We don't like it when we don't get what we want when we want. It's not easy to be patient. It's unsettling. It's uncomfortable. You know, this COVID-19 has been unsettling and is producing a lot of discomfort for many people. In fact, as more time passes, everyone's patience is tested further. Anything that takes us out of our comfort zone tests us, doesn't it? I don't like to have to do certain things that I didn't used to have to do, and now I have to do them. It's frustrating. It's annoying. See how quickly our minds kind of go there without even realizing it, and then this whole test of patience begins to become a bigger issue for us, and unless we're paying attention to that, we're going to fail miserably in the test that's being presented to us under the subject of patience. When we're out of our comfort zone, we're more likely to feel, say, and do things that we shouldn't. You notice that? You're out of your comfort zone, you definitely say things that sometimes, oh, why did I say that? And this affects our attitude and our behavior and our relationship with God. Sometimes even God may get the blame for our feelings because He's not intervening for us, doing what we want Him to do. It'd be wonderful if He just intervened and dramatically, which he can do. There's no limits to God. Just simply got rid of COVID-19. Of course, we know that's not too likely to happen. All of us have trials and tests. None of us is totally free of these things that complicate our lives. Things which can rob us of happiness, God wants us to have. Absolutely no one lives a perfect life. God doesn't want us to be robbed of happiness. But when we are impatient, that's what begins to happen in our lives. Well, no one gets the benefits of living a perfect life because none of us are perfect. But that doesn't mean that we get no benefits. God promises to bless those who are willing to do His will. We always come back to certain basic points, don't we, when you think about the Christian life and walk. Am I truly willing to do His will? And when that's where my thought process is, boy, I sure get a better frame of mind looking at things because I'm taking the big picture look. I'm looking down the road at the goal, the objective, the target. And I don't get so caught up in the frustrations of the day-to-day. Always remember that God's purpose is to build holy, righteous, perfect, divine character in us. The process of becoming like God is, in the overall sense, a happy way of life. But sometimes people believe that if they don't have consistent happiness and peace, well, something must be wrong. Fellow family members, that simply isn't true. Always remember, God is far more interested in us taking on His divine nature than He is in keeping us, happy every moment of the day. God thinks of eternity far more than the moment. And that should also tell us something. Our focus should be on eternity more than the moment, whatever it might happen to be, that's testing us. When that's the case, we value patience more, and we become more patient. Now, I'd like to ask you to consider something else about how God thinks and operates. Does any one of us believe, really, that God is not supremely happy? That He is not above worry and frustration? Surely we recognize that God is perfect. He is supremely happy. He is not a worrier of what may possibly go wrong. I'm confident we all know that He has His purpose and He will fulfill His purpose as He sees fit. He is not limited and He will do what He pleases. Let's remind ourselves of what we are told in the 115th Psalm. Turn there with me if you would, please. Psalm 115. Here in the 115th Psalm, I'd like to take a look at verse 3. But our God is in heaven, and He does whatever He pleases. Now, what does this have to do with the subject of patience? Well, God has been very kind and gracious to offer you and me eternal life with a spiritual body that will be above all human limitations. We will not have the frustrations, the worries, the physical and mental pain that we may have and do have now. We will be like God and supremely happy continually. This concept and idea needs to be in our minds regularly so we practice patience when we are faced with trials. So if this is where our focus is, when we are tested with a pandemic, when we are tested with financial trials, when we are tested with health problems, when we're tested in any way, we will find that we are more patient in general, which also means we experience greater peace. The more patient you are, the more peace you have. The more peace you have in your life, the more you find that you want to be patient and are willing to be patient. Remember what we read in 2 Peter 1? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So God has given us His Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is to help us cope with the trials of life as we turn to Him continually for that help. You know, it's a long, slow process, and it isn't easy, but it is completely rewarding. Right now, we can find people that feel a variety of ways about the pandemic we are experiencing. That's true of those around us. It is, to I think, a lesser degree within the membership of God's church as well. Some don't feel comfortable going out, while others feel the government in general is overreaching and taking away our liberties. Where do you think patience fits into this equation? You know, one of the biggest things we have to deal with in our lives is our emotions, our feelings. When we get these bent out of shape, it affects our relationship with God and, frankly, even our health. We need God. We need His help. And He wants us to go after it regularly and daily, through Bible study and prayer. Fellow family members, through the course of all of our experiences, He wants us to trust Him and patiently allow Him to work in our lives, changing us and building His character in us. It's a challenge to not become frustrated with different decisions we may see man making, and especially when those decisions impact our lives. very important when we're in circumstances like that, that we remember who is ultimately in charge, what He has given us, what He promises us, and what He expects from us. Brother, it's important to remember, again, who's in charge. God leads. Our job is to make sure that we do everything within our power to not get ahead of Him. You know, there are different examples that come to my mind when I think about it very quickly. I can think of a number of times in the past where it was all I could do to not get ahead of God. God, please intervene in this situation. Please step in now. I don't know how much longer I can take this. You know, it was all I could do, and I was going through a process of trying to convince myself of where I needed to be and what I needed to do, understanding that I was fighting with myself over this. I know who's in charge. I know I need to be patient. Didn't mean it was easy. Patience rarely is. I'm sure none of us thinks that we can do a better job of building godly character than God can. Yet sometimes our emotions get in the way. Our impatience and frustrations cause us to get impatient. And then we say things and we do things that are not what should come from our minds or our lips. When that happens, we risk doing, like I say, saying and doing and saying things that aren't helpful and cause us and sometimes others to stumble. Sometimes it's important we recognize that our emotions are the problem. Excuse me, it's certainly not God. I'll give you an example. Are you tired of what the media and politicians offer us today? Now, I believe I know your answer to that question. But how are you handling it? How am I handling it? Are we patient? Are we possibly saying things that we shouldn't? Are we losing focus on the big picture? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And let's take a look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, excuse me, these are sons of God. God's Spirit leads. We don't. And it leads us. It doesn't push, pull, or drag us. Our part is to respond to God's lead, not to get in His way or resist Him. Now let's see further instruction from God's Word about impatience. Impatience is a part of human nature, an insistence on having our own way. It's something that we all must overcome. How are you doing with that? Are you insistent on having your own way? I don't know why you say that. I'm not. That's not me. Well, chances are, if that's how we react just to that question, we're probably guilty. Of course, we don't overcome anything without effort, do we? It's not something we dispel by wishing we didn't have it. Boy, I sure wish I didn't have impatience. Okay, here comes the genie out of the bottle to give you that. That's not how it works, of course. Let's go to Galatians 5 and read something interesting here. Galatians chapter 5, that's very fitting for the subject we're talking about here. Galatians 5 and verse 16, the very first phrase says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. This means daily. Every day in our lives. Live by the Spirit. It takes effort. It takes prayer. Diligent study. a passion. Continuing here in verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many times have you found yourself exactly in that position? Well, I sure knew that I wished on that one. I wish I had done the right thing. Sometimes I have to remind myself, when God appears to be delaying His answer, He is giving me an opportunity to win a spiritual battle. Think about that. Sometimes, I really have to remind myself of this different times, when God delays an answer, He's giving me the opportunity to win a spiritual battle. Or fail. This is God building His divine nature in us. So our thinking, our way of life, needs to be controlled. Does this sound familiar? God expects us to develop patience and self-control. Of course it does. That's two components to the fruit of the Spirit. When God delays, we are tempted to take things into our own hands. And, of course, that's contrary to God. When we do, we don't build character. Now, continuing with the concept of adding more to our definition of patience. Patience is possessing quiet, uncomplaining endurance under distress or annoyance. Long-suffering. All right, let's stop and think about this for just a moment. Quiet. Okay, well, that's already going to be a problem for some of us, perhaps, if we're wound up about something, right? Uncomplaining endurance. You mean I can't even complain? Under distress or annoyance. Pretty confident I'm not the only one that's had these feelings that I've had to battle against. I'm assuming I'm talking to an audience that gets this and can appreciate it. In my mind, this speaks very directly to the challenges that every single one of us should be able to relate to. Back at 2 Peter 1:4, where we started today, we saw God's people were given great and precious promises. If there is anything that is made clear in the Bible, surely it is that sometimes we have to wait on God to intervene. And that's why we pray so fervently, Thy kingdom come. We want God, we need God to intervene. Not only in our own lives, but in the world. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and let's read beginning in, let's read verse 14. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." All right, now if we just took that verse, and I asked you to go into a room somewhere in your house and meditate on that verse. I believe something very positive would come out of that, first of all. And I also believe that would really focus us on the whole concept of not only do we have to wait on the Lord, but it says we must be of good courage. And if we wait, what does He do? He strengthens us, is what we read here. You know, if we're weak, we need strength. And we are weak when we lack patience. It's important that we learn how to develop patience in our lives. Once again, God works things out in His time. What is important for you and me is that we love God and His will. This also results in a willingness to be patient. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, and I'd like to begin in verse 28, a verse that's well known. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called; whom He called, these He also justified; and whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But who did not spare His own Son? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." Now, these are some of the precious promises that God gives His people. Do we believe what we read here? Just how patient are we? God will fulfill all of His promises in His perfect time. He wants to know that we are willing to wait. That no matter what we may be facing at different times in life, when trials occur, that we learn how to be patient. Somebody doesn't treat us right. How do we handle that? Well, if we're patient, we handle it one way, and if we're impatient, we handle it another. James chapter 1. James 1. Here in James 1, I'd like to begin in verse 2. Now, in this particular case, I'm going to read from, I rarely ever do read from this because it's not really a translation, it's a paraphrase, but I'm going to read from the Living Bible here. "Dear brothers," verse 2 of James chapter 1, "is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy." It's hard, isn't it? Be happy. Now, one would think, oh, well, that sounds nice. How hard can that be? Well, we find out in how we're facing on a daily basis. "For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems." We must work our way through them in reality. To not think so means we're not really facing reality. "For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete." You know, the testing of our faith works or produces patience. Without being compelled to wait, there is no patience, and without patience, character is not complete. God does things in a very thorough way. His plan is thorough. His word is thorough. His work is thorough. And His product is thorough. 2 Timothy 3, let's check out another passage that we're probably familiar with. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's begin reading in verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," which is to be you and me, "may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let me share with you what the Expositor's Bible Commentary has to say about this. Quote, "The purpose of all this is that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped is the combination of an adjective and the perfect passive participle of a verb. The adjective is artios, only here in the New Testament, and it's defined as complete, capable, proficient, able to meet all demands. The verb is exartizo, only here and in Acts 21, verse 5. And it means to equip and furnish." End of quote. Now, I like that expression, complete, capable, proficient, able to meet all demands. Wouldn't we all like to be that way? Oh, I've enjoyed when I've been able to look back on something and realize that that happened, that I actually handled it that way. Not been nearly enough cases of that, I think, in my life. But I think that we forget that that's what God promises. That's the way we'll be when we become the final product. God has chosen us to be among the first fruits. We are now in training. But again, we have to be patient and cooperative, allowing God to do His work in us. Since God's Word is being highlighted here as being the means of becoming thoroughly furnished, when obeyed, we are to be giving a lot of attention to it. When we strive to abide by the Word of God, we receive help from God to live by it. Again, God is not in a hurry. Now, you and I can't always say the same, can we? You know, I find it interesting, even in just different parts of the country. You could go to certain parts of this country that will remain nameless, because I don't want anyone to think I'm pointing a finger anywhere and saying one's better than another, because I don't feel that way. But you could go to certain parts of the country. You don't talk to the grocery clerk. You do everything and you get in, you get out, and you move on. Now, if you did that here in Georgia, would you not seem somewhat rude that you didn't take time to at least have some sort of a conversation with a grocery clerk? And you might be saying, well, I don't always do that, but you understand what I'm saying. The pace of life in general is even slower here, which I completely understand. Why would you want to go too hot or too fast in this heat? My point is, no matter where we are from, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, all of us, it's not that one's better than another by any means, face trials and challenges in life. And we all have to ultimately choose to learn how to be patient if we are part of God's family or want to be a part of His family for eternity. God isn't in a hurry. He doesn't miss anything. He gives attention to every detail that He needs to. And sometimes that's the challenge for us. We aren't giving enough attention to the details. He's serious in His business of making sons and daughters of God. We must also be serious about our role. Think about what this subject really means for us. Consider just how important being patient is. Let's do all we can not to get in His way. He's the potter. We are the clay. The potter knows how to produce his creation with the clay. How much does the clay know in comparison? Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I'm just thinking, even as I read this again now, the whole concept and idea of patience or long suffering with joy. Well, maybe we're patient, but maybe we're not too joyful about it. okay, well, I guess I have to be this, so I'll be that. Fellow family members, it takes understanding from God's Holy Spirit as well as patience to appreciate what it is that we're reading here. The more we are patient, the more we recognize how truly important it is. Colossians 3, page or so back further towards the back here, chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering or patience. We are to clothe ourselves with or put on patience. Now, I believe we would all agree that God is very patient with us, all of us. We all get bent out of shape sometimes. We think, say, or perhaps do unkind things. God has to contend with a lot of our weaknesses. Yet He is patient. He sometimes has to wait until we get ourselves straightened out. Then He's ready to help us again. Psalm 103. Let's begin reading. We're going to read here in Psalm 103. I'm going to read a number of verses, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let me stop right there for a moment. Isn't this easy for us to do? Forget the benefits of what this way of life is all about and what He's provided us with? It's too easy to get enamored wrapped up in and snagged by the trials, the challenges, the hurdles of everyday life. Verse 3 says, He forgives all our iniquities, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Turn to God. Ask Him to lift you and encourage you and to help you be more patient when that's what's needed. He made known, verse 7, His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Boy, that about tells it all, doesn't it? God loves His children. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. When we repent, He is quick to forgive. By the way, let me just stop and mention this. As a parent, if you have children, especially if they're young, although you would know this even if your children are now grown, you knew better than your child knew how they felt, right? And what they were facing. It's no different with God. He knows that about us in ways that we don't even see and recognize. So that behooves us, if we have any wisdom at all, to say, I need to make sure that I am indeed paying attention to what it is that God is showing, and I implement that in my life. In this case, the subject we're talking about today, patience. He's quick to forgive when we repent. He wants to get on with the job when we're ready. He wants to build godly character in us so that we can join Him in His spiritual family. You know, as excited as you and I might be about being in His family, how excited do you believe God is? He created us with this in mind. He does need, however, our cooperation. If there are slow periods of development in our lives, we're at fault, not God. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go back to 2 Peter. This time chapter 3. And let's take a look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we can be very thankful that God is very patient and merciful with us. When you think about it from that standpoint, I think that also encourages us to say, I need to make sure I'm being more patient in general. Verse 15 says, consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Jesus Christ, of course, is our perfect example. He voluntarily took up the cross of suffering and bore it. He did not complain. He did not murmur about his lot in life. Oh, life is just so unfair. I don't understand. This is just not right. If that's our mindset and our mentality, how well are we going to walk through this life? We've seen different times in recent messages even. God calls the weak of the world. He's blessed us richly. We don't deserve this. Jesus Christ did not murmur about His lot in life. He did not gripe about His trials, tests, and difficulties in life. He had plenty of them, but He quietly accepted His responsibility and carried it out. I will just tell you, I have great admiration for people who quietly and consistently go about doing what needs to be done. It is a beautiful trait. And not that commonly found, frankly. You know, when I really think about this, I find myself disappointed when or if I come to see that I have allowed myself to become too frustrated rather than being patient and focusing on the bigger, more important picture. Go turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Here in Isaiah 53, I'd like to begin in verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7 says, He was oppressed, and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So He opened not His mouth. You know, if anyone had anything to complain about, he certainly did. Yet he was silent. There's a lot to think about here as it pertains to our own life, isn't there? Verse 8, as we continue here in chapter 53, He was taken from prison and from judgment, and he who will declare, I'm sorry, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he has stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, or deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He's put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. When Jesus died, his purpose for being on this earth was accomplished. It was all according to God's plan. And Jesus never objected to God's plan and purpose. He looked beyond this physical existence. It is clear that he demonstrated patience in all that he did. With Christ as our example, it is important that we learn and recognize he is looking for us to exemplify patience when that is what is needed. As I've pointed out, patience is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The question is this something that others see enough in us? Now, I believe everyone who's married could go and ask their spouse how they feel. Some of us might be a little concerned about what the response might be. Perhaps others of us not as much, but I would venture to say that all of us, if we really thought about it and were truly honest, would say, I haven't even been patient enough with my own spouse. Let's go to James chapter 5. James 5. James 5, and beginning in verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Daily life isn't always easy, is it? Challenges of all kinds are thrown our way. It really doesn't take too long to recognize, if we're paying attention, that our patience is and will continue to be tested so long as we're breathing. Some of us may feel we haven't done a very good job of building patience over the years, and we may get somewhat discouraged when we think about it. If that's you, I'd like you to remember what the Apostle Paul shows us in Philippians 3. Let's go there, please. Philippians chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. We aren't perfect. We've made mistakes. What's done is done. Instead, we must press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Fellow family members, please remember this. Forget what we need to forget from the past. Let it go. It's over. It's dead. We can't go back one second and change it. We must, however, move forward. Don't allow our past to deter us now and into the future. Verse 14, as we continue here in chapter 3, says, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what we face, pandemic, financial trial, marriage trial, or any other trial, we must keep our eyes on the goal, the kingdom of God, and becoming like God and taking on His divine nature. Verse 15 says, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind that we've been talking about today. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. You know, there are many aspects of character. Patience is one of them. Don't sell it short. Look for opportunities to grow in your present circumstances. When you grow in them, God can change the circumstances anytime that He wants. Let's all ask God to help us grow in this very important virtue, the virtue of patience.